The more we pay attention to what is important to God, the more amazed we are with seemingly ordinary things, ordinary moments, seemingly ordinary experiences. The closer we get to God, the more we move under the waterfall of God's presence, the more we'll just be appreciative of God's creation. You know, most of you are by this time making fun of my being enamored with clouds. But I'm telling you, and nature, and just noticing. I mean, I was just driving along and I looked up on a hillside and it just grabbed me how many different greens were on the hillside. Different trees, bushes, grass, and just. It's like I've been oblivious all my life to what God has created, the goodness of God. And I think it's due to, as we move closer to Him, more deeply surrender to Him, we notice the nuances of what God does for us. And I have come to the conclusion that we ought to, every single day, just be amazed at who God is and what God does. Because He's amazing. Not just with His grace. Amazing Grace is one of those great songs. And God continues to He promises to do amazing things. Exceedingly abundantly more than all that we can ask or imagine according to His work within us. He tells us. Today, I want to look at and hear some of those moments, insights, amazement. So at the end of the message last week when I was talking about fasting and really challenging us to fast and lean into God, and I thought I did a good job. God threw me, really. But I'm standing at the back and Pete comes up and he says, and I don't remember the exact words that he said, but he said, what happens next? Do you remember the exact words that you said? No, I don't. Yeah. It's been a whole week. What happens? I'm going, what were you talking about? He says, maybe you could talk about next week what happens after you fast. And in that moment, I got this sense, this nudge, that yeah. So I thought I'd done a good job, and then I was just completely deflated. Because I realized what I so often do is with the topic of fasting or other topics is I really zero in on it, and then I move on to something else without really landing on giving God the honor and the glory for what He did from that. And so as Pete's talking to me, I realized, you know, this is a God moment. God is nudging me to say, we need to pause and open it up for other people to talk about their experiences, their insights, you know, what fasting meant to them, how they saw God in some way, and allow God to speak through other people in the church. And so what we've done is we've only, instead of just broadcasting on our New Song Facebook page, we're doing it just from my page, and we've just invited people who are connected with New Song. So that you can, in a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come up here, and there's no worry about your image or your words being just out there randomly for anyone to see. It's only just us. So thanks, Pete. Thank you for allowing God to challenge me with what we should be doing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. If you look at your sermon outline for a moment. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. And it says, when you fast, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. So Jesus assumes that we're going to fast. We talked about this. When you fast, He assumes you're going to fast. But He says, fasting's not the point. Fasting is the means by which we move toward God. And so he says it's not just some religious ritual, which is what the Pharisees had turned it into. They had turned all these religious activities that God had given to the Jewish people to move to God into ways to say, look at me, instead of look at God. And so he says, don't, you know, they make themselves look, you know, gaunt and bad and terrible. He says, truly I say, they have received their reward. They've gotten their attention from other people. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your hair, wash your face, that your fasting may not seem by others, that it's not something, it doesn't mean you can't talk about fasting. It means don't make yourself a spectacle to others, but rather do it to focus on God. That your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So number one, living amazed with God means fasting's not the point. God's presence is the point. Fasting's not the point. Fasting, just, you know, prayer is not the point. Talking with God is the point. It's not the activity. And so worship is about being in the presence of God. It's all about moving into the presence of God. So that picture of the waterfall, fasting is the means, the best means by which we can say no to ourselves, yes to God, in order to move under the main part of the flood of God's presence. Fasting's not the point. God's presence is the point. Number two, I told you my sermon's going to be shorter. I promised you. See how fast we're moving? It's not about me, that's right. Number two, God rewards fasting. And all obedience, really. God rewards fasting. Fasting is not a means by which we earn anything from God. It's a means by which we move into his presence. And so he says, you know, at the end of verse 18, he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He rewards us. And so I asked the question, and I've been asking it for a number of years, what might we miss by not fasting, by not moving under that waterfall, by not using the means that God has given to us to move under that waterfall? What might not happen in our lives and others' lives if we don't fast? What might happen that shouldn't if we don't fast? And I've got personal experiences that I could share, but I want to really open it up to other people. There are some things that only come as we seek him. The reward of God's presence. And I would encourage you to write this down, which is the greatest reward of all. When we move towards him, whether it's fasting or prayer or service or any obedience, it's about obedience. And so what I tell people is, and you know, as we go into weeks of prayer and fasting, if God tells you to fast, fast. If God tells you not to fast, don't fast. Because it's not about not eating, it's about obedience. If he tells you to fast early. If he tells you to fast late, fast late. If he tells you to do a Daniel fast, do a Daniel fast. If he tells you to do a liquid fast, do a liquid fast. If he tells you to just, I don't want you to do anything with food, just get off social media for a week. Just do that. Just obey. It's just about obedience. And when we obey, we experience his presence because we move under the presence of his waterfall. And I'm telling you, there is no greater reward than the manifest presence of God. Amen. When it's just obvious that God is there, and you sense his love, and you sense his care, and you sense his direction, and you sense his pleasure, because that's what we are created for. And that's what resonates, that's what satisfies, that's what we long for in eternity, the presence of God. The very relationship, the intimacy that he created us for. Moving under that. And so, you know, as I was preparing this several weeks ago, I thought, I think we're drier than we realize. I think we're more deeply in need of being in that waterfall. I think we're farther away from the direct overflow of his presence than we realize. I know that was my experience this last week. the reward of God's presence, but also the reward of God's actions on our behalf. The scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that we read as a scripture reading, where he says, "You who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children." Why? Because you love giving good gifts to your children. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't understand when adults would say, "You know what? I love giving gifts." Adults would say, "I love giving you gifts more than receiving gifts." And I go, "How in the world does that work? That's just stupid." As I got to be an adult, I realized it's exactly true. You know, seeing the joy in other people, that's a reflection of who God is. God loves to pour out his presence, but also he loves to take care of his kids. He loves to bring joy because he gets delight out of us. And so the reward of God's actions on our behalf when we surrender, not when we demand, but when we surrender, he loves to give his good gifts. And so this is your chance to share your experiences. And even if it's from a pastime of fasting or some other insight, but insights, experiences, something that happened before or during the fast, I just, as I was talking to Pete, I just sensed that God has something to say to us through some of you. So if God nudges you to get up and say something, I'll obey that. If God doesn't nudge you, stay in your seat, right? Because we don't want to hear you. We want to hear God through you.
Amen.
Okay? So because Pete's responsible for all this, and he said, "Yeah, God has something he wants me to share," I'm going to invite him to come up and be first.
This is going to be hard. The Lord's really nudged me to come up here. I'm surprised I didn't fly up here. What he just said is to the point. When you live for Christ and are obedient to him, God can move in your life so you can't comprehend. It's just unbelievable. Got a lot of emotion, been through a lot lately, and I'm not going to share all that. It doesn't need to be said. But the Lord's working in my life. I'm closer to the Lord right now than I've been my whole life.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
It's not me. It's not me because I screw everything up. It's all the Lord. And I think about each and every one of you often. I pray for each and every one of you. I just pray that you guys are walking with Jesus. I pray that you're close to him, that you're being obedient to him. And if you're not, if you're sitting there saying, "What Pastor Herb's saying, just how the Lord's work can work in my life, I'm not experiencing that." I really pray that each and every one of you just take an inventory of yourself. Why? We should be up here jumping for joy. Jesus died for on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing good in us. Nothing good in us at all. Nothing. But he came to this earth and died for us. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not in you, there's a problem. Just like it wasn't in me for so many years. But Lord is gracious and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
He is so merciful. And he took a tragedy in my life to wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't me coming to him, and it was him coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for him at all. But he came to me and said, "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. If you think about that, that should fill your hearts with joy. And he does, and he did that for each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of you. So you should be excited. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, I just encourage you to really look into that and see why. Mm-hmm. Because he can do so much for you. And part of the thing is, when you're walking with him, being obedient, yeah, you're going to mess up. We all do. But the Lord works. Mm-hmm. Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. Notice our air conditioning wasn't blowing cool air. It was cool, but it wasn't as powerful. And I can't do heat. So I, of course, noticed that. So it's like, yeah, we got a call. Get this taken care of. We had a flood a couple months ago due to a water main break. God worked in that life. And in that situation, I was frustrated, but he worked. He provided. And so I called. And I thought it was that related to that, and it wasn't. And I had this guy tell me it's going to be $3,200 for a new unit. Hmm. I'm like, well, I don't have that in my bank account, so I guess I have to pay you the service call, and you're out of here, and I'm in a hot house. And I was. Monday and Monday night was miserable. But I've kind of had a nudge. It wasn't a spiritual nudge, but a nudge. But it might have been spiritual. If it's from the Lord, it was spiritual.
Right.
Get a second opinion. I mean, so I got the guy here that installed the unit. And first thing he said is, I don't like plumbers. He said, especially doing HVAC stuff. He's like, they're not necessarily trained in that. When he left, he replaced a part, and it cost me $140.
Amen.
And between the guys coming, I got on my knees. And I said, Lord, you've been so good to me lately. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to trust you. Mm-hmm. I'm hot. I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. And it's making other things bad. But I have no choice. I'm just going to trust you. And it's that obedience. It's that getting on my knees, realizing, and I think of the old audio adrenaline song, there's nowhere but up when your face is down on the ground. Mm-hmm. I say, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm just going to try to trust you. And I just pray that it works out. And it worked out. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't work out, there would have been another reason. There would have been another reason. I don't know. But it did. And God's good. God's merciful. Mm-hmm. And he's faithful. And I just, when I pray for all of you that you grow closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I just, oh my goodness, my heart wants to leap out. I just can't express that enough. Mm-hmm. And so, to God be the glory through everything.
Yep, that's so, right.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come here.
Come here, man.
Thank you.
I love the tears, and I love the words coming out of Pete, because he truly hit bottom a number of months ago, and God is just wonderful to see the transformation. And that was a gift. Hitting bottom was a gift. As hard as it was a gift. Somebody else. That's a little scary.
Yeah. Longer than that, really. It's been, yeah. Well, no, it's been a month.
Teenager.
Well, yeah. But yeah. We're not here to talk about when I was a teenager. So, it was maybe, I guess, 5 weeks ago. Herb had announced that we were going to have the week of prayer and fasting. And so I went home and I was praying and I asked God, you know, when do you want me to fast? He's like, next week. It's crucial that you fast next week. So I said, all right, what do you want me to do? Daniel fast. Okay, God. So I had planned on doing it. And then that Sunday I was talking to Shannon.
So for me, it was actually a couple days prior to that Sunday, and I had been praying. I really hadn't felt any nudge to fast at all, but I think it was that Friday, I had woken up, and God said, no, you're going to fast. You're going to start not this week, But the following week, which happened to be the week after Katie was starting, and you're going to do a liquid fast.
So we had talked about that, and so we decided that it would be a good idea to get together to pray. And we looked at our schedules, and the first day that we could do it was happened to be the first day of Herb's vacation, and it was like, da-da, you're fasting for Herb. And so that first week, as I was praying, one of the things, I wasn't sure, you know, what it was all about. I'm like thinking, you know, there's things going on maybe with me, I don't know. So I was asking him, what's this about? And he said, you know, this is bigger than just you. And so I'm like, okay, you know, and I really, when you're fasting, sometimes you're cloudy, you have no idea what's going on. But he put Shannon and I together the whole time. And, as I fasted, I got towards, I think it was Thursday or Friday of the first week. I thought, okay, well, I'm done. And God's like, no, you're not. And so I said, all right, what do you want me to do next week then? And so I prayed, and then I texted Shannon and I said, hey, do you get any sense of what I'm supposed to do next week? And she told me specifically, like, Daniel, fast until dinner. You can have dinner, but take a break for the weekend. And I'm like, that's exactly what I sensed. And throughout the whole thing, I ended up fasting for a month. Because at the end of every time, it was, no, you're not done. And each time I'm like, okay, God, tell me through Shannon what I'm supposed to do. And she did the same thing. She would say, hey, I'm not really, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Can you pray? And I'm like, sure, you're supposed to do this. And God had told her the same thing. And we met together a few times to pray for Herb. And there were times that he would say things to us that, that it made a difference. And, I still don't know what it was about, but one more cool thing, as far as timing of it goes, is that I woke up Friday morning. I had just given up coffee. Yeah, right? I had just given up coffee this past week, and Thursday was like the hardest day. I don't even know why it was so hard. I was exhausted. I'm like, I need coffee. Oh, God, I want you more than coffee. When can I have coffee? Like, come on. But I, you know, I made it, and I had planned to do it till Saturday because I once again had no direction. But I woke up and the first thought in my mind Friday morning was, you can have coffee today. And I'm like, is that me or you? Because I don't want to disobey. I want to follow through. And so I got on my knees and I'm like, okay, God, if I can have coffee, like, make it clear. And he said, trust me, you're done, trust me. So I texted her, and she was done Friday as well, which was crazy because he was done Friday as well. So there was something going on that we were intertwined with, and I guess it's done, but we don't know what it is.
Well, the one thing I do want to say is I had been called, whenever I was first called to fast early, I was called to fast for those 2 weeks. And I knew that it was going to be 2 weeks, and I was to end that Friday. And so I was doing a liquid fast. But that Thursday of my second week, I felt God saying, no, I want you to do a water fast. Now, I do want to say this. I have hypoglycemia, so I have blood sugar issues. And I know whenever I was first time I was ever called to water fast, I was kind of concerned because I get really kind of shaky and it's not a good thing. But God has always sustained me. When he's called me to water fast, he has always sustained me, and I've never had a blood sugar issue once when I water fast. So he called me that Thursday, and then that Thursday night was the Thursday that we had that God moment in the learning community. And so I went ahead and I continued to fast. Had been told, okay, Saturday, have dinner, broke for that weekend. And then Sunday evening, you're going to fast again, which just happened to be this past week. I was like, oh, okay, what do you want me to do? And he went and I did another liquid fast until Wednesday, was called to do another water fast, and finished up on Friday. But it was neat the way that he was intertwining us, because like Kitty was saying, there would be times when I had that fast fog. And for those of you who have fasted, you understand what I'm talking about. You just kind of get really foggy and you're not real clear on some things. And I would pray, God, just let me know for sure. Just give me some kind of clarification of what's going on. And I'd text her, and then and she would let me know. And then the one other thing I want to say is I had had one day where I was just feeling really, really kind of like down and just kind of ick, and just praying, God, just give me some sort of confirmation. Give me some sort of something to tell me that I'm on the right path, that I'm doing what it is that I'm doing what it is that you want me to do. And that evening was Learning Communities, and Jesse went ahead, and Jesse and Dawn actually both said something to me that I knew instantaneously that it was from God, and it was just him speaking through them to affirm what it was that I was doing. And so I just want to thank him, because that was all him. So.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, I guess, too, there's things that he did in me that I don't think would have happened if I hadn't been fasting. Just emotional things, and there's stuff going on with my mom. There's just things that are happening, and he really spoke to me through the fast and through Shannon a lot of times. And then there were moments where I would be, when I go for walks, I pray. And the one night I'm walking and I'm praying, and I was texting her at the same time. It was like a whole prayer walk text conversation with God. And like, it was so quick. It would be, Shannon, I don't know what's going on. What do you think? And right away it was this. And I'm like, he said that too. Like, and he just was speaking so clearly, and like, there was no denying that he was working. And I mean, I don't know what the end is. I don't know what he is going to do next. But he did something. So, I mean, and his presence is just so much more powerful when you fast. I mean, I don't think I realized how dry I was. Yeah. Even Daniel, the first week I was fasting alone, and my little Daniel gave up his breakfast cereal to fast. So I wasn't fasting alone, which was kind of cool.
And
but
what was his prayer?
His prayer was, God, I want you more than frosted mini wheats. So, but yeah.
God's good.
Thank you. Just several. I don't know what happened. So several observations. Again, it's the point's not fasting. The point is obedience. Fasting is a gift to us and a responsibility before God. And so what you heard from these two ladies is God was giving them the gift. And at one point, they said, we sense we're supposed to be praying for you as you're on vacation. And my response was, I'm humbled that God would care enough about me to put it on other people to pray that specifically for me. And their response was, frankly, we are humbled too. Because it's a privilege. And it's about this journey of walking with God to allow him to do what he wants to do, to accomplish his purposes. And so there are ways that I think, you know, when the fasting is done, you know, for all three of us at one point, then there's a step has been accomplished. But it's a part of a longer journey that I think began 2 years ago in October of 2019, and then right before the pandemic, and we've talked about some of those kinds of things, and continues on. Mm-hmm. And so this is this week, and what God is doing in each of our lives is the ongoing part of His journey, His process, and what He wants to accomplish in us and through us. And so it's and I think we need to be especially pay attention when we're fasting and He nudges us to connect with other people, because there's a strength in that. And so sometimes the battle's too strong for us alone, and we need other people. And don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. All right? Somebody else who wants to share? One of my fellow cloud addicts, right?
In the words of Pete. I was thinking about sharing what I experienced this week. Normally, Kleenex kind of slide my way, but today Bev gave me a big one. Didn't know I was going to need it, you know, as I'm listening and God's nudging me. And it's not going to be pretty. The result of my fast is sitting in row 5. When Mike was in the hospital, he told Pastor, "We've been through a rough time." He says, "But we'll have victory in the end." I didn't know what the victory was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if He was calling him home to be with Him or to release him to be with me. He lost. He got back with me. And God's been good. Mm-hmm. And it's the result of my fasting, and it's the result of somebody else fasting. As I was talking to someone, they told me that they were also fasting for him. So, mm-hmm. I had to go get my COVID shot because I didn't know the only way I was allowed in to see him was to make last decisions. That's where he was. And God turned everything around. Mm. And He gets the glory.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And the question is, what might not happen if we don't fast and pray? God responds as He leads us by His Spirit. Yeah. Yep. Somebody else? Susan? That's all right.
Oh, so God's nudges. I'm alone a lot, and I'm old. I got notes because I'm old, and sometimes I have all this stuff on my heart, and I think, I want to share that. And I open my mouth, and the thought just goes away. So forgive me for having notes. And so I'm home a lot, and on weekends, you know, time you want to be with your family and stuff, and they're out doing their thing, and so I'm always looking for, you know, something new to do. And it just so happened that couldn't find anything on TV, and I'm, you know, surf channeling, and I came upon Cornerstone, and they were having a documentary kind of movie, and it was called Before the Wrath. And I was just so touched by this that I wanted to share with you and encourage you. So Jesus taught in terms of that the people could understand. He taught about the shepherds and the sheep. He taught about the fishermen and his stories about that. The four soils. The lost coin, that one kind of, you know, hit me because the lost coin, you're searching for something that's valuable. And isn't that our relationship with Christ? Mm-hmm. That it's not just, oh, okay, there he is. All right, I can go on with my life. But we continue to need to search for him and study his word and apply that word to our life. So today we live in a fast-paced world of technology, having or being the best, spending on pleasures as compared to our needs, developing a new language that I can't understand. You know, all these computer terms. I think, what is that? And the other day somebody said streaming. I said, I've heard of it. I have a little inkling, but what is it? So there's many things I don't understand in our language today. The song, things I don't understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, kind of keeps me going, doesn't it? I know I don't understand this world today and everything that's going on, but I know that Christ is Lord of all and that he will return. So we are exchanging biblical values for worldly values. We look forward to and work for the next thrill or exciting adventure instead of looking forward to our eternal destination. So when I watched this movie last night, Before the Wrath, it kind of connected with what we've been doing in the learning centers. And talking about Jesus took on the wrath of God, and so Herb was talking about the wrath again today. So Jesus took on the wrath of God for our sins. So we can all see that these are not the good old days of our youth, but the world is moving further and further from biblical values, and we are starting to think about the Lord and the end times and the return of Christ, about the rapture and about the devastation to come. So I was impressed with this movie, Before the Wrath, because it equated the coming of Christ with a Galilean wedding. Once again, Jesus taught in terms that the people could relate to, and a wedding would be familiar with this comparison, so it was much deeper than I ever understood. I knew they had something to do with each other, but this brought it to a deeper level. At one point, they said they've discovered new evidence for some of this. They didn't really say what that evidence was, but there were things that I learned about this that I didn't know before. So when you look at the Galilean wedding, the proposal came first, and they show a scene of, you know, the families gathering, and the groom-to-be was offering a cup of wine to who he wanted to marry. And she had a choice of accepting that wine or not. And so when Jesus was at the Last Supper, before he went to the cross, he was sitting there and he offered them the wine. And they could choose to take it or not. And that wine was the sign of his shed blood. And then there was the dowry, and we know that Christ paid a price for us and for our salvation. Then, after the proposal and all of that's done, there's a time of waiting, a period of preparation. And usually it would be about a year. And so as Jesus was walking to the garden with his disciples, he was telling them, wait, that he will come again. And he said, I will go and prepare a place for you. And that kind of relates to this year of preparation for the wedding. So Christ is preparing for us. The bride and all the people going to the wedding were to be ready when the bridegroom came. And Jesus relates the story about the bridesmaids with the oil lamps, and some were ready and some weren't. And then here was one item that I didn't know before. They said, only the Father of the Son knows the day and the hour of the wedding. That, you know, he watches the Son prepare and all of this. And when he knows that the time is right, then he says, now will be the wedding. And Jesus said, only the Father knows the day and the hour. And when it's finally time for the wedding, they come and they get the bride and they put her in this chair and they lift it up. And so the bride is lifted up. And when Jesus comes, we will be lifted up. And that's called the rapture. And then once the guests go in, the doors are closed. And for us, those that are not prepared will not enter his kingdom. So I would like to encourage everyone to go to YouTube. I checked to see if it was out there.
You
it is.
You know what that means?
Huh? You know what that means? No. I know you can go there and watch things, but I don't totally understand it. People put things out like people watch. Now, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but... Okay. So... and watch this movie. It's called Before the Wrath. It gave me new perspective, and I hope it will do the same for you. As we live in these unsettled times, I pray we will see the warning signs and listen for the Lord's truth and revelation. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. And I thank you, Susan. I think that's a good picture of what God is trying to do. Because the closer we get to him, the more we get under the waterfall, the more we will long for the day when we will see him face to face. And I think that wedding, you know, as a bride and groom long for the day, that's where we ought to be. We ought to have that longing, and fasting is a means by which we can get that longing. One of the great things that have happened, and Randy and Terry expressed this a couple of weeks ago when they spoke, is that being forced to stream our services online has kind of opened up our family to other locations, to other places. And in the learning community, doing it on Zoom, we got people from other states that are participating in that. One of them is Temple Miller, who lives in Michigan. She was Sheila's roommate in college, and she told me that so somehow God's nudges caused her to find us when we were streaming online, and I think originally through the 1211 broadcasts, and then she started watching our worship services, and then last summer, so a year ago, she decided she was going to fast. She'd never done that, and it was out of that experience that God reignited her walk with him. And out of that gave her a depth that, she's a writer, and out of that came a depth of her expressing those writings in devotionals and different ways in very, very powerful ways. And so she sent in an email, because she was fasting along with us this week. She said, I had anticipated that this week being full of the Lord's presence with his elbows throwing out nudges, the Holy Spirit filling me with new truths and God providing me with answers that I'd been seeking. But in reality, this week has been one of the most stressful I've had in quite some time. That doesn't seem fair, does it? And yet, God knows what he's doing. With lots of drama and moving parts, I felt like the details were kind of like Daniel's dominoes. Daniel plays with dominoes all the time. Falling as the unforeseen event collided with the next one into a jumble. Well, of course. There you go. Remember me saying that? Well, of course. In a week, I'd planned to shelter in place with the Lord. More people were coming and going, more meals and cleanups, more doggy disasters with throw up, more laundry, more miles traveled to fix the said doggy. Equaled more distractions than I could have dreamed. Fasting proved to be the least of my concerns. I was too busy to miss eating. But the Lord walked through this week with me, leading each step of the way. I could disappear during meals to grab a few minutes to pray. I didn't sleep much, so I could pray during my insomnia. My stomach revolted with cramps all week, and that frequently sent me to spend a few more minutes with alone with God. While I didn't notice many nudges, new truths revealed, or answers, I did feel the Holy Spirit's comfort and it keeps turning off by itself. I know this week provided growth. I feel sure the anticipated nudges, new truths, and answers are on their way. So the headline for my fast is, God is faithful. Amen. And that's the way sometimes fasts are. Sometimes it's hard. Other times it's So you never know what a fast is going to be, but what we do know is God is faithful. Amen. And God will move us. And part of my experience is sometimes the fast is just, you go through the fast and it just seems like there's nothing really happening. Then after the fast, God will nudge or show or reveal or give you a depth or an intimacy that you didn't have before. But what I want you to understand is that so we do 3 weeks of fasting a year, but each one of them are like stair steps that build on them. And so things are accomplished, and I think like Katie and Shannon were talking about, things are accomplished, but it's a part of the whole. It's a part of all that God's doing. So number three, go back to your sermon notes for a moment. Let me wrap it up with this. After fasting comes assignments and mission. After fasting comes assignments and mission. So after Jesus fasted, what happened next? On to the work. It was on to the work. Fasting is can be an experience of intimacy. It can be an experience of work. It could be God using us or ministering to us or gifting all kinds of different things. But what I've noticed in Scripture as I went through this week and as what I sense God saying to us is, fasting is preparation for the mission, accomplishing the work that he has. And so for Jesus, after 40 days, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll look at several verses here. So after Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he spent 40 days fasting. And he was tempted, and he went toe-to-toe with the devil, and he emerged from all of that. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. When we're obedient, sometimes we have to do battle, but and it wouldn't it be nice if the angels were there when we were doing battle? And there is the presence of God, but Jesus was spent. And anytime you are spent, God will provide the resources that you need. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. This is in your outline. It says that Jesus returned. So after the fasting, he returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. So Jesus went into the wilderness with the Spirit. He emerged after going through the fasting that the Father wanted him to go through with the power of the Spirit. When you accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. But God has to work in us and with us in order for his power to work through us. After the fasting comes the mission, comes his power, comes his resources. And then look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And then what happens? Verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God, the Spirit nudged Jesus all along the way. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. After the fasting, it's on to the work of God. It's on to the mission of God. Jump down to verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. He emerged from the wilderness with the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. And he did the work of God. It was on to the mission. So his fame spread throughout all. And they. The tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them. And what came next? They sent them off. After the fasting came the work. And as you follow Barnabas and Paul, Saul, who became Paul, what you see is they went into the next city, spiritual warfare, people got saved, they got persecuted, moved on to the next city, and the next city, and the next city. And what you see is God working through them. They were on to the work. in amazement at God. So amazement at Jesus after he fasted and he went on to the work, amazement at all of these, at the apostles as they went on to the work. And what about us? After the fast, on to the work, on to the work. I've sensed, as I said, I've sensed that we've been, as we're fasting and praying, God is getting us ready for the mission, whatever that looks like. What comes after the fast? On to the work. Fasting's not the point, as we said. So here's several challenges I had. This week of fasting and prayer has been what? What is the theme? Knees and nudges. Begin every day on your knees, surrendering to God, giving yourself to God, giving your day to God, surrendered. And then following the nudges. Listening, walking in step, so that when he nudges in any way, shape, or form, we follow that. Knees and nudges. Going forward, let's continue to do that. I thought it was just for the week of fasting and prayer. I thought that was the theme. What I sense now is that God was giving us the theme for this next period of time. Knees and nudges. Every day, beginning our day, saying, God, I belong to you. I surrender to you. You're Almighty God. I'm not. Do whatever you want. And then walking through our day, listening and following God's nudges. And let's, going forward, let's also convert the fasting prayer to continue to use it. Lord, I love you more than whatever it is that you're facing. Lord, I love you more than this temptation. I love you more than I love you more than this relationship. I love you more than this desire. I love you more than this job. When we're tempted to do something that would be not exactly what God wants. Lord, I love you more than this TV show. Lord, I love you more than social media. Do whatever you want to in my life. Let's use that as a tool so that every time we're tempted to do anything, just oblivious to just using that. God, I love you most. Giving praise to him that I think will make a difference in our life, but I also think that praise will make a difference in the heavenly realm. Lord, I love you more than do whatever you want. So what were the first steps after the fast? And I will close with this. After Jesus fasted, what were his first steps? We said after the fast, on to the work. What were his first steps? After the angels ministered to them, I think he went home and took a nap. He was exhausted, right? Probably not a nap. He probably slept for 3 days. The next step was a seemingly mundane kind of thing, right? You go home. Yeah, you've been away from home. You've lived with your mom. And he probably told her, the Holy Spirit's driving me out in the desert. She's concerned. Goes back, has conversation with her, just mundane, everyday kinds of things before he goes out and he begins to announce, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was the next step for the apostle, the leaders in Acts chapter 13? They got to go pack, right? They've been fasting. They've been praying. Okay, get a meal. Somebody cook. And we got to pack our bags. I don't know I don't think they had rolling suitcases back then. But they had to pack something because they were going on this trip. They didn't know where they were going for sure. They didn't know where all they would end up or how long they'd be gone. They had to make arrangements. It was just mundane stuff, seemingly mundane stuff. I think when we think of spiritual things, oftentimes we think, well, you know, I got to do something big for God. Maybe it's cleaning the communion set after we have communion. Maybe it's cleaning the building. Maybe it's mowing the grass. Everything becomes a spiritual act of worship when you do it for Jesus. So pay attention to the small nudges that may be seemingly mundane, because it's so much of life is living life, and then every once in a while there's this moment. Would you bow your heads as we close? Lord, thank you for your invitation. Thank you for the spiritual discipline of fasting. as hard as it is, God, it really is a right side up gift. And so we're grateful. We're grateful for all that you did in the lives of the people that shared and the people that didn't. And we pray that you would use it as another step in the purpose that you have for us as individuals and as the New Song Church. God, we know that you're working. Sometimes it's hard to look at this world and not get discouraged at all the chaos, all the craziness. God, keep our eyes upon you, who are bigger than anything, you who have your purposes, and you who specialize in turning impossible situations around in ways that we can't even imagine. So we give ourselves to you, Lord. I pray that you would use this to launch us into deeper relationship with you and deeper use for you. God, I pray that you would open up whatever the mission is for us, whatever you want each one of us to do in mundane steps or in big things. But God, that we would just be walking in step with you, enjoying the journey with one another as you lead us. Keep our minds on you, Lord. Keep our hearts on you. May you be pleased and glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, let me encourage you.